Now he turns to the Pharisees and scribes. And when Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool.' David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. And friends, right there is where he taught his own virgin birth. You see, the son is always inferior to the father, not superior. We're living in a day where evolution says the son is superior to the father. That's not true. It's the other way around. Now, if the son is inferior to the father, how could David call his great-great-great-great-grandson, how can he call him his Lord? Well, the only way he can is for him to be the Lord, friends. And the only way he can be the Lord is not to be just David's son, but he's going to have to be virgin-born. My, this is a great thought that our Lord is giving here. And the common people heard him gladly. That's verse 37. I want to pick up 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing. They love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." In other words, privilege creates responsibility here, and believe me, he certainly denounced them here. Now here we have the final incident in this chapter, and Jesus qualifies scriptural giving by evaluating the two mites of the widow. This is a marvelous way to end this chapter, and this is right at the conclusion of his ministry. Listen to this. Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. He was there watching them give. Somebody might say, what authority does he have? He has the authority today to stand over when the offering's taken in your church, or when you are called to give to some cause for God's cause, his work. He's there to watch you, friends. And he doesn't watch what you give. The principle is, he watches how much you keep for yourself. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And by the way, she gave two pennies. The important thing to note is, he noted that the rich cast in much. They were big givers. Oh my, how we love the big givers. The rich gave, they gave generously. But you know, he didn't note that. He watched that widow, and she gave two mites, and compared to the wealth of that temple, friends, what she gave wasn't worth a snap of your fingers. But you know what he did? He took those two mites and he just kissed them into the coin and the gold of heaven, and it made it more valuable than anything that any rich man ever gave. You know why? Because he saw what she kept for herself. She gave all to him. My, I tell you, that's the way he measures. We say today, am I to give a tenth to God? My friend, how much do you keep for yourself? It's not how much you give to him. You're not required to give a tenth. The question is, how much do you really love him? And I think that today that there are those who ought to give more than a tenth. Gracious, I think there's some people today ought to give 50% what they make to the Lord. And by the way, you'd get a better deduction on your income tax if you did give more to the Lord. May I say to you that he is the one that watches how people give. And it's not what they put in. Because that widow didn't give anything, friends. I don't think that anybody else, the treasurer, didn't pay much attention to it. Just two pennies. But our Lord kissed it into the goal of heaven. She sure did give a whole lot.